Hello, and welcome to the Link Cassette Podcast, and today I'll be covering 1988's Beetlejuice. Writer Michael McDowell wrote the story along with Larry Wilson. They also wrote the screenplay, although when director Tim Burton came aboard, he replaced them with Warren Scarron due to creative differences. McDowell's script was darker and had Beetlejuice as a winged demon who took the form of a small Middle Eastern man who was a huge fan of rape and murder. Scarron's script more or less turned him into a pervy dickhead. There was also a second Deets child that was eliminated from the script. McDowell got the name Beetlejuice from a star in the Orion constellation. McDowell was said to be impressed that people actually picked up on this fact when the film was released. I guess he thought he was the only person that knew anything about fucking stars. Burton cast his featured Batman star Michael Keaton as the titular character. Hilariously enough, Burton's original choice was Sammy Davis Jr. Yes, that Sammy Davis Jr. from the fucking Rat Pack. Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis play Adam and Barbara Maitland, a couple who are ghosts that died in a car crash. Their car crash was also depicted much more graphically in the original script. Jeffrey Jones, who these days is a fucking convicted sex offender who gets in trouble for not registering. Catherine O'Hare and Winona Ryder play Charles, Delia, and their daughter Lydia Dietz. They are the new inhabitants of the Maitlands' former home. Robert Goulet plays Maxie Dean. Dick Cavett plays Bernard. Glenn Shada is Otho. Annie McEnroe is Jane, and Sylvia Sidney is Juno. Most of the information I got from this is from, I did get some from Wikipedia and from a couple articles, one on mental floss. Never heard of that article until, that website until I saw this article, but it was pretty fascinating. Danny Elfman, who also would go to work on Batman with Burton, scored this film. The now defunct Geffen Company, which was run by music mogul David Geffen, and David Geffen was also responsible for, signing music acts such as Guns N' Roses and Nirvana. Warner Brothers distributed the movie, and filming started in March 1987, and all the outdoor scenes were shot in Corinth, Vermont, with the interior shot at Culver Studios in California. Beetlejuice won an Academy Award for Best Makeup. The success of Beetlejuice was actually what convinced Warner Brothers to hire Tim Burton to direct Batman. I like Beetlejuice well enough, but nothing about it screams to me, "Ah, you know what, this fucking guy should direct Batman." But it all worked out in the end. Beetlejuice was released on March 30th, 1988, and made $74 million against its $15 million budget. It won the box office every weekend in April 1988, which is quite impressive. Well, in the spirit of Halloween, let's check the shit out. We open with a title screen and opening credits sweeping over some nice forestry and a royal little town. We eventually settle on a creepy-looking model house on top of a hill. A spider crawls on it, and we see a guy pick up the spider and take it to throw it out the window. It seems he is making a model of the whole town. The man and his wife exchange vacation gifts and talk about how they are going to stay home working and not go anywhere. Sounds like one fucking great vacation to me. The couple seem very much in love, and this is Adam and Barbara Maitland. A pushy real estate agent, Jane, drops by and bugs Barbara to sell the house, dropping in the line, "This house is too big for you guys. It really ought to go to someone who has a family." Barbara looks sad, and I immediately think Jane is a cunt, and I hope she fucking dies. Barbara politely tells her to leave, and I wouldn't have even done that. I would have just pretty much threw the bitch out the house by the hair. As Adam works in the basement, he opens the blinds to one of the windows, and the waste-of-life real estate agent tries to pitch Adam, who immediately shuts the blinds again. Adam and Barbara depart for the hardware store so Adam can get some supplies for his model. Barbara tells Adam about Jane's bullshit about selling to someone with a family, and Adam says maybe they can try again while they are on vacation. So I guess they can only try to make a baby when they're on vacation. Sounds fucking great. Adam and Barbara own the hardware store as it is Maitland's Hardware. They laugh and joke on their way back home, and Barbara swerves to miss a dog standing in the middle of the road, And as the car goes through the wood-covered bridge, the car is sort of half on and half off. And they turn and they see the dog that they swerve to miss standing on a board that's kind of holding the car. But as soon as the dog jumps off the board, the car does a turns upside down and smashes into the river. So I guess that 20-pound dog was enough to counterbalance a whole fucking car. Anyway, we go back to the house and we see a cuckoo clock sound and a fire starts up as the Maitlands walk back in, soaking wet. They remark how the fire wasn't lit when they left, and when they sit in front of it to warm up, the fire kind of swells up and causes a fireball, and that causes two of Barbara's fingertips to catch fire, but she seemingly can't feel it. Later on, Adam decides to go retrace their steps after the crash because neither of them remember walking home after. He steps off the porch and is in this kind of hellscape place. It's sand and it looks like abstract sort of sculptures that look kind of like coral all around. It's very weird. He steps into this place, but Barbara pulls him back. But when she does so, she tells him he has been gone for 2 hours. Even though, watching the movie, it was only a couple seconds. She pulls him into the living room and shows him that they have no reflection in the mirror, and she shows him a handbook for the recently deceased sitting on the end table. Barbara comes to the conclusion that they didn't survive the crash. She's a regular old fucking Sherlock. She questions Adam as he reads the book, but he can't make any sense of it and says the book reads more like an instruction manual. We cut to someone reading a newspaper titled The Afterlife and reading an article about sandworms. It's obviously fucking Beetlejuice, but we only see him from the back and hear his voice. He looks through the obituaries to find a job, and he reads a snippet about the Maitlands and remarks they look cute and stupid. That's the one thing about this movie is a lot of this humor is it's not subtle, but then again, I don't think anything Tim Burton ever makes is very subtle. Back home, Adam works on his model, complete with graves for him and Barbara, the morbid fuck, but I guess he wants it to be town accurate. And Adam tries to comfort a frustrated Barbara as we see Jane, who should have been the one to die in the crash, truthfully, look around outside. Then she leaves, and as she drives away, we see a sold sign on the for sale sign outside. We get a funny visual of the Maitland sleeping the next morning. Adam's on the bed, but Barbara's levitating over the bed, but she falls to the floor when she is startled awake by a noise. They rush to check it out, and it's the new owners moving in, the Dietzes. Charles, the father, loves it. His wife Delia hates it, and their daughter Lydia seems to kind of like it. Delia's friend Otho comes in through the window. He says it's bad luck to come in through the front door, which is pretty fucking random. And Otho actually might be the best or most enjoyable character in this movie. It also seems he's an interior decorator. Him and Delia go through the house criticizing everything about it. Barbara is hanging in a closet and she rips her face off to try and scare them, but it's to no reaction, as they don't even see her. They move into the study, and Barbara is standing there holding Adam's head with a knife. They don't see her, but are scared by Charles, who jumps out. Delia screams at him to let her remodel, and all I can think of is her yelling, "Kevin!" in Home Alone. Charles agrees, but tells her to leave the study for him, too, which she agrees. And Delia's just a miserable bitch this whole movie. And Winona Ryder kind of is to Lydia for little different reasons. Ortho and Delia go to make their way to the attic, but Adam runs past them, still headless of course, so he gets some funny gags of him running into the wall and shit. He locks the door and Delia makes a joke that it must be ghosts, and they turn and leave. Barbara has a bit of a meltdown and goes to leave the house, but ends up in the same kind of space that Adam did the night before. Well, the night before to us, I'm sure some time has passed, but Adam goes after her and they make a mad dash back to the house after the sandworm tries to eat them. At dinner that night, we learn Lydia is like a precursor to an emo kid, which is kind of why she's a little bit annoying. She's not as depressed as emo kids typically are. They play in movies or as moody, but she's still a little melodramatic, and her hair is just fucking all over the place, and it's just weird, and it's a Tim Burton movie. That's all I can say about that. Charles, however, he's happy as a pig in shit, and Delia's a miserable bitch, so everybody's got their thing going on. Delia decides everything belonging to the Maitlands will get thrown out, and we see the Maitlands watching this looking sad. The next morning, the Maitlands look frantically for a solution to their problem and find a flyer for a bio exorcist, Beetlegeist, and this is spelled Beetlegeist. Delia yells at the movers as they crash her sculpture through a window, startling Charles. Lydia takes pictures outside and she aims the camera up toward the attic, and she can see Adam and Barbara watching them. The cunt real estate agent comes back and acts sad that the Maitlands are dead, and she gives Lydia a skeleton key, which will open every door in the house. Lydia goes up to the attic and attempts to open the door, and the Maitlands go to block it. Suddenly, a TV comes on, and it's the commercial for Beetlejuice. He's playing some kind of type of cowboy, like a used car sales type thing, is basically the way it's the kind of vibe the commercial gives you. They turn their attention back toward the door, and Adam pops the key out. Used like a little rod thing to just push it through. Adam draws a door after he heard to do so in case of an emergency, knocks three times, and the wall turns into a door with a green light coming out of it. The couple steps through. We cut to Lydia trying to tell her dad what happened. She saw the light coming through the bottom of the attic door, but he blows her off before she can tell him. Adam and Barbara walk into an office. The receptionist says they don't have an appointment, and this is basically a the term I saw was bureaucratic approach to the afterlife, but it's, I guess it'd be literally hell. It's like going to the DMV, picking your number, and sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting for your number to be called. Back at the house, Lydia breaks into the attic. She seems impressed with the model town and flips through the recently deceased handbook. The Maitlands wait in the office, sitting next to someone who must have been burned to death, and someone with a shrunken head. The guy who must have been burned to death, he asks Adam if he wants a smoke, and Adam tells him no, and the guy's like, "Oh, I'm trying to cut back myself." It's a pretty funny little bit. The Maitlands are finally called back. They walk through a trippy ass room and through a door that goes back to their old house that has been completely remodeled, redecorated, whatever. Their caseworker Juno tells them that 3 months have passed since they went to see her. They left to go see her. Juno tells them to read the handbook and to start simple to get the deets to move. When they go to ask about Beetlejuice, she cuts them off and says he used to be her assistant, but he got into all sorts of trouble and is no good. She tells Adam and Barb the only way to contact Beetlejuice is to say his name three times, but she strongly urges against it and disappears. I mean, that's the plot hole of the whole movie. If she would have never told him how to reach Beetlejuice, they would have never known. I mean, I guess in Beetlejuice's flyers or commercials, his way of trying to contact them, he could have told them, but nope. I put that on the caseworker, fucking stupid idiot. We sweep through a model town as a fly lands near the cemetery, and we see Beetlejuice's hands come out from under the foam, and he offers the fly a candy bar, which it accepts and disappears. Pretty sure Beetlejuice ate the fly. I think that's what he was trying to do, lure it in, but the kind of cut, I was a little unsure of that, but that was my vibes on it. Charles is on the phone with one of his clients from New York, Maxie Dean, and Charles urges him to come down and check out the area so they can buy up the whole town from these idiot country bumpkins, basically. Or I guess it's up because they're in Connecticut and they're talking Maxie Dean's in New York. Charles hears a noise coming from outside his office door. He opens it and tells Lydia her mother is going to kill her for cutting holes in the $300 sheets. But in reality, it's Adam doing the whole ghost under a sheet routine. And that's what I was talking about. Like, the humor is a little on the fucking nose. It's kind of stupid and corny, but I think the movie's kind of supposed to be stupid and corny, so what are you going to do? They try to scare Delia, who is asleep, and she just blows them off. She pops up and points the remote at him as she thinks it's the TV making the noise. Lydia pops out of her room and takes pictures, thinking it's her parents doing some kind of weird, perverted sex game. But when she sees there are no legs or feet in her Polaroid pictures that developed instantly, she yanks the sheets off and has a chat with Adam and Barb. We learn that Delia is actually her stepmother, and she's Xanaxed out at the moment. That's why they were unable to get any kind of reaction out of her. And Lydia actually read through the handbook and understands it just fine. It says that the living ignore the strange and unusual, but that she herself is strange and unusual, so that's why she can see him. Yeah, that's. You could describe Lydia that way. I would describe her as a fucking emo bitch brat, but whatever. Back in the attic, they explain they want the Dietz to move out, but Lydia says there isn't a chance her father will walk away, and she tells him they may want to up their game from sheets. So the father, I guess he's like a real estate investor or something like that. I'm pretty sure that's what he is. At times I thought maybe he was a financial investor, but maybe it's sort of the same thing, but whatever the fuck he is, for whatever reason, he sees potential in this area. And we also see that when the Maitlands come back and we get some outside exteriors of the house, that Delia has kind of tried to make the house look like an abstract sculpture with shapes and weird walkways outside. It's very, very strange. But she's an artiste, so she must make art. Lydia tries to tell her stepmonster, but nay, nay, she is busy prepping for a dinner party that night and won't even hear of it. Back in the attic, desperate and dejected, Barbara sees the lights blinking in the model cemetery, and she, with Adam's encouragement, says Beetlejuice three times, and it transports them into the model cemetery, where they start digging up a grave that appeared for the titular character. Once they reach his casket, it starts shaking, and he comes shooting out of it like a baby out of the womb. Beetlejuice commits a hashtag Me Too violation by grabbing Barb and kissing her, and he starts acting obnoxious. Some highlights here: he hands Barb a rat and spits on his jacket to save it for later. He yells out his qualifications, which includes living during the Black Plague. Upon them asking him for why he is qualified to kick the Maitlands out, or to kick the Dietzes out, why they should trust him and all this. Beetlejuice's solution, though, is that he wants to commit murder and mayhem, but the Maitlands just want him to get rid of the Dietzes. They are really peaceful, hippie flower people, so they're not all about. They want the Dietzes out, but there's certain lengths to which they'll go to achieve that means. And it's important to mention that Beetlejuice, the actual ghoul, doesn't show up until about 45 minutes into the movie. I'm not talking about that scene of him from behind reading the newspaper or a stupid little cartoon. We don't actually meet and get the lowdown on Beetlejuice for about 45 minutes. And the name of the movie is called Beetlejuice. What the fuck? I feel like we're having a Jason Takes Manhattan flashback here. Barb and Adam turn to talk to each other to figure out the best course of action, but they get angry when Beetlejuice uses a stick to lift Barb's dress. Another big violation here, bud. Beetlejuice tries to plead his case by doing bad stick comedy, but Barb says home three times and they travel back to the attic their full size. Beetlejuice gets pissed and throws a temper tantrum. A very miniature-sized temper tantrum. Barb has an idea to scare the Maitlands that night, but we don't hear her. She starts to tell Adam, and we fade out, and we cut to the dinner party, which is extremely awkward. Otho is bickering with another guest at the party, and Lydia makes Delia uncomfortable because she brings up seeing the ghosts of the Maitlands. Delia goes to talk, but when she does, she starts singing and dancing to Deo by Harry Belafonte. The rest of the guests start involuntarily dancing as well. This scene is probably the most famous and well-remembered from the movie. The only one unaffected by this is Lydia, as everyone sits back down in front of their bowls of food after this whole sing and dance routine. Giant monster hands come out of each one of the bowls, grab their faces, pulls them down, and throws them backwards. The Maitlands return to the attic, ecstatic at their accomplishment, and wait for them all to go running out of the house. However, Lydia comes up and tells them Delia wants them to come downstairs and to wear any sheets that they want. We see Charles found the experience quite thrilling, and that's because the National Enquirer is paying $50K for proof of life after death. Lydia returns downstairs and tells everyone that they refuse to come down. All the guests besides Otho think it's bullshit and leaves, which I don't really understand because were they all fucking on hot on mushrooms or hallucinogens when that happened? Fucking idiots. Delia has Lydia take them up to the attic. Delia pounds on the door and screams at them, and the door swings open. They look around, and Charles is impressed by the model of the town. Otho spots the handbook and steals it. We see the Maitlands hanging out the window and Beetlejuice laughing at their failure. As they make their way downstairs, we see the handrail has turned into a giant Beetlejuice rattlesnake. It looks under Delia's dress and tail whips Otho down the stairs before wrapping up Charles and dropping him down to the second floor. He turns his attention to Lydia, but before he can do anything, Barbara walks in and says Beetlejuice three times, and it sends him back to the model. Lydia thinks this was the Maitlands, and she's pretty pissed. She does this whole, "Oh, no one, I can't tell you all fucking are just mean to me." Well, you're a little fucking bitch, that's why. Beetlejuice throws another temper tantrum in the model, and Barb picks the miniature-sized Beetlejuice up and starts yelling at him after he insinuates he is going to go after Lydia in a very sexual way. He then has spikes come out of his torso, causing her to prick her finger and drop him. Then Beetlejuice goes on this weird tangent about wanting to get laid, and a strip club appears out of nowhere. A strong gust of wind happens, and the Maitlands find themselves back in their caseworker's office. She tells them they screwed up by letting Beetlejuice out, and by being photographed, and by Otho stealing the handbook, so the Deetzes have just been fucking up left and right. There's a football team in Juno's office, and they keep mistaking her for their coach until she kicks them out, which is pretty funny. Back with the Deetzes, Charles and Delia ponder what to do next. Otho joins them and says they better figure it out because Maxie D, the guy Charles was on the phone with a few days ago, is coming to see them tonight. Lydia writes a suicide note of her intentions to plummet to her death because, like any teenage girl, she thinks that anything in the world that happens is automatically, an affront on her or an attack at her. And I guess teenager in general, I don't want to generalize it like that, but pretty much any teenager who thinks that anything that's going on in the world is to spite them. Back at the afterlife office, Juno tells the Maitlands that she wants the Deeths gone immediately. They show Juno how they intend to scare off the Deetzes by making their face look like some kind of fucked up ghoulish dinosaurs. She sends them off to get rid of their house guests, and she tells them to get the book and get the photographs. Lydia goes up to the attic to talk to them, but she only finds Beetlejuice at the miniature-sized horror house, Juno's words specifically. It was her idea to, have the whorehouse pop up to distract Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice asks Lydia for help to get out, but he can't say his name for whatever reason, so they play charades. And he makes a beetle appear, and then a jug of juice. Orange juice specifically, because, she has to get it incorrectly a few times before she finally guesses Beetlejuice. She says it twice, then she asks about the snake. He denies it. She is about to say it, but Adam and Barbara appear and stop her. They are successful, and they tell her that they are inviting her and her parents to stay. Just as this is going on, Charles and Otho come in and grab Adam's model and take it out of the attic. And they carry it downstairs for their presentation to Maxie D. Charles completes his presentation to Maxie and his wife. Charles pressures Lydia to make them appear, but she says they are gone. Otho has been reading the handbook and says he thinks he can make them appear, but he needs something personal of theirs. Delia goes and retrieves the Maitland's wedding clothes. Otho and the Dietzes and their guests get in like a circle and do a ritual type thing, and Barbara appears in her wedding dress, which was laid out on the table along with Adam's tux. But she ages very rapidly, and so does Adam once he appears in his tux. It appears that they are dying again, and Charles tries to shut it down, but Otho says it's too late. Lydia goes to the model and asks for Beetlejuice's help, and he agrees as long as Lydia marries him so he can be set free. She says Beetlejuice three times, and then we get one of the other famous things from the movie where he goes, "It's showtime," which has become a meme or, you know, a gif over the year, you know, last few years, which is very, very popular. She frees him, and he appears with a carousel around his head. His arms then stretch out and become two giant hammers at the end. Maxie D and his wife appear, and they're standing on those games at the fair where you hit the platform with the hammer as hard as you can, and hopefully it rings the bell. Well, when Beetlejuice hits the platform with the Maxie D and his wife standing on it, they go through the fucking ceiling and roof. Beetlejuice seems to have released the Maitlands from the spell they are under, even though they still look very old. He fucks with Otho a bit by having his clothes change. Then Beetlejuice appears in a tux and Lydia in a red wedding dress. He brings Delia's sculptures to life to restrain the Deeces so they can be witnesses to their daughter's wedding. A dead pastor comes to marry them. Beetlejuice accepts, and when Lydia goes to say no, Beetlejuice answers for her. Lydia and Adam, who are now back to their younger dead selves again, tries to say his name, but Beetlejuice makes Adam's teeth fall out of his mouth. And then Beetlejuice sends Adam, miniature size, into the model town. He literally zips Barb's mouth shut when she says his name once, and he has a metal plate with screws in it go over her mouth when she gets it out the second time. And he sends her to the hellscape type place with the sandworms and shit. Adam seems to have a plan, and he gets the truck running in the model town. He drives it off the model onto the floor and into Beetlejuice's foot. Just as he does that, Barb somehow rides a giant sand snake through the ceiling, and it takes Beetlejuice in its mouth and crashes through the floor, saving Lydia from marrying this scummy fucker. The two couples smile at each other, and we cut to Lydia leaving an all-girls school sometime later. The house seems back to the way the Maitlands had it before, and Adam works on his model as Lydia brings him pictures of the new town hall, and they inquire about her grades. They let her levitate and sing as the Dietzes chat upstairs. Seems they're all living there in harmony. And the Maitlands have a good relationship with Lydia, which, hey, they wanted kids, and apparently it didn't happen for them. Maybe it would have had they not died, but, you know, good for them. We see Beetlejuice wait in the office to see his caseworker. He has a ridiculously long number, and he switches it with a witch doctor. But when the witch doctor sees what he did, he shrinks Beetlejuice's head. We cut back to see Lydia dancing with the dead football team behind her, and we cut the credits. Positives: good score, good story. Effects look good for the most part, and Michael Keaton disappears into the role very well. Great visuals from Burton, and this could probably be considered his first Burton-esque type of movie, or the type of style and weird humor and visuals we would get from Burton. Negatives: There's not a lot of Beetlejuice in it. It gets a little repetitive at times. And a lot of the humor, there's no subtlety. It's all dead on or smack you in the face or whatever. But going back to not a lot of Beetlejuice, I do kind of count that as a negative, but I feel like if he would have been in the whole movie, like, it's 92 minutes. If he would have been in the movie, say, even 80 some, 70, 80 some minutes, he probably would have gotten very, very tired, you know? The Beetlejuice character, at least in this movie, I feel works a little better because he's not all over the fucking thing, even though it is a bit of false advertising because the name of the movie is Beetlejuice, but still there was enough Beetlejuice in it for me to be satisfied, and I do generally find the Maitland story set, you know, it's sad and tragic for a movie, what, you know, a stupid comedy horror movie, whatever, but the you're supposed to feel for the Maitlands more, and the Dietzes are just comedy fodder, or fuck these guys. You're definitely supposed to root for the Maitlands, I feel. Overall, it's a good movie and a Halloween tradition. This movie spawned a cartoon, which was how I got introduced to Beetlejuice as a kid. And the cartoon ran from 1989 to 1991. There were some video games and even a musical that ran from 2018 to 2020, but it had been shut down during the COVID pandemic. There have been talks of a sequel, Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian, but those talks have come and gone. They've been going on for years and nothing has ever come out of it, so I doubt we'll see it. And Kevin Smith, in his first A Night with Kevin Smith special, even talks about when he was going to do some writing work for Warner Brothers, and he ended up writing the Superman Lives script, which was actually going to have Burton direct, but and Nicolas Cage star as Superman, but it fell apart. But Kevin Smith said the other option was a was Beetle was the Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian movie. If you're looking for a fun, spooky movie this Halloween season, and you haven't seen this in a long time, or you've never seen it, do yourself a favor and check out Beetlejuice. It's only an hour and a half, and it's got enough there. And I don't even think it's too scary for the kids, especially with what's out today. I mean, it's a PG movie, so it's a good little family horror flick, I guess you could say. But next time I'll be coming at you, I'll be doing so with another movie from 1988. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. So join me next time, right here on the Leighton Cassette Podcast.